Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rebecca Kelly, and you're listening to the Everywhere We Go podcast. On this week's episode, I'm joined by Brandon and Aaron. At just 18 and 16 years of age, these guys are real life heroes, earth angels, and if I were their mother, I would be extremely proud. At just 16 years of age, it was a transition year project that found Brandon and a friend organise a sleep out in Donnymead to help families dealing with homelessness. Born from his own acquaintances with homelessness, Brandon set up Dublin Homeless Awareness. You have to forgive me for constantly mentioning their age, but the fact is that these kids are doing more for rough sleepers of Dublin than our own government. They are extremely respectful of their service users, but from experience take no nonsense. They are selfless, brave and dedicated. This podcast has been the most eye-opening of all. It is very easy for us not to look outside our bubble. This crisis is very real. So if you can help, please do. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are and where we come from. So who are you and where do you come from?
I'm Brandon and I come from Donnymead.
I'm Aaron and I come from Drimna.
Hi lads.
All right.
Brandon, you are the founder of
Dublin Homeless Awareness. So it's a group of 16 to 25 year olds that help the homeless and highlight the homeless issue in the Dublin area. We have 26 volunteers at the moment and 8 of them are first responders, so they're trained medically. So there's 2 teams. There's a street team and there's a response team and there's a psycho response team as well. So the response team would book people into hostels, and if they're not booking people into hostels, they'll be dealing with like medically instance like around the GPO and O'Connell Street and stuff. So they wear tactical vests with all their medical equipment in it, and if they need to get to that, then they can use the equipment that is all donated to us. The street team are kind of a relief team. So they'll hand out essential supplies like hygiene packs and food and cups of tea and coffee to people sleeping rough, and they'll hand out sleeping bags as well. So them two teams kind of work differently, but they work together. Like, so the relief team, the street team would do laps of the city centre handing out stuff, and then the response team would back that team up if they came across anything, like anyone that wants to go in somewhere or a medical instance and stuff like that.
And then tell me, where's Aaron, where do you play your role in this?
I'm in the response team along with Brandon. Yeah, so we just, as he said, go around, help people, booking them to hostels. Like yesterday we were out, just the two of us booking people into hostels and stuff. Got a few in. We work with Dublin Sun Community. We have their number and stuff, so we get them out to try sort something out for them. But if we come across anything that someone needs to be medically treated, we're able to do that.
Where did it start?
Started 2 years ago.
Right.
One of my mates started a sleep out in Donnymead. She's not doing it anymore. She dropped out from doing it, so it's only me. But we decided to do a sleep out. It was part of just a project in transition year. Right. And basically it just kicked off from there. The amount of attention that I got in Donnymead, because there was four people sleeping rough in Donnymead when we done it. So it got a huge amount of attention, like from politicians and stuff. So we said, right, we'll keep going. And we done a backpack then at Christmas. So the money out of that, then we done a Christmas party for the hubs in Kilmacock, the family hubs. We done a Christmas party with North Dublin Bay Housing. So we were able to provide a Christmas party for them, and then just went on from there. And the whole kind of response team aspect of it came about 4 months ago when we got funding from doing a hike for homelessness. So the funding from that set up the response team. It was just kind of a trial setting up the response team. How would it go? Obviously, there was bumps in the road with different things and stuff like that.
So
but
take me back on that. Like, so you're sitting down, you're at doing the sleep out, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, you go, right, I could really help people.
Mm.
And then how do you start planning? Like, how do you start planning to get that response team?
The response team just kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I trained in St. John's Ambulance in Ardagh and Walter when I was younger. So kind of coming, when we were only street team starting off, we were coming across people that weren't booked into hostels and we couldn't do anything for them other than say, you have to ring Dublin City Council. And the times that we're going out at, like, they couldn't get through, obviously. And we said we could set up something that could actually kind of help people. The whole kind of people were doing different things in transition year, like, for projects. But I kind of picked that one because my mother was always homeless when I was younger, sofa surfing and stuff. And she went through addiction as well. So I kind of came from a background of addiction and homelessness in the family. So I kind of picked that one. And because I was passionate about it, I just went and just kept going. Like, there wasn't really, it kind of just went with the flow. Like, everything just kind of panned out, you know. We didn't really plan. It just kind of came out, like, people offering different stuff to us, and then it went from there. Like,
and then 2 years on, then you've got 25, you said,
26 volunteers at the moment, and then the majority of them are between 16 and 18. So it's a kind of youth organization to get people into the homeless issue. Like, and like, there's 26 volunteers at the moment, and I think there's 200 people on a waiting list to get in. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
And come here, tell me this, Aaron, just you being 16. Like, if my Amelia came down to me and says, Mom, I want to get out and walk the streets, I'd have apprehension about it. So, like, when do you sit down and have that conversation with your parents that you're going to do that?
My mom works in a food bank, so she has, like, links with other homeless groups and stuff. So she knows what kind of, like, goes on and stuff. And before I was in this one, I'd done a different one. So I knew what was around. But then my mom was all right with it because she doesn't really mind. She'd rather me be out helping people with a group than walking around the street, like, if there's trouble around or anything, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So she just rathers me being in with the homeless group and stuff, helping out.
What is a typical night like?
So the night we go, we'd have to kind of try arrange food. So it's a struggle at the moment. With COVID, it wasn't. Everyone would donate food, but it's a struggle at the moment to get food in. So we'd look at who's donating and we'll meet them in the city centre early. And we'll set up the two trolleys. So we have two trolleys, two street teams tonight, response team tonight. So we'll set up all the food in the trolleys, and then the response team will check their kit. And they check the radios, check everything that they need for the night, basically. And then they head off from 7 till about 11:30. And then we wouldn't say it as a typical night. Like, it's changes every night, like, but it's the same faces that we're seeing. Like, it's not new people. And obviously the last couple of months, it's been a few new people now from COVID, and kind of a lot of people, the misconception behind homelessness is that you have alcoholism or drug addiction, but it's not. You'll go onto the streets, the homeless person will go onto the streets with mental health issues or financial issues, and then they'll pick up addiction on the street because they realise, you know what, this buzz is going to get me through the day. So they'll take drugs every day and then they'll get addicted, or they'll have a few drinks and they realise that kind of takes the pain away. So I'll have a few drinks every day and it'll be okay, but then they get addicted and then they're into addiction or alcoholism, and then that leads to so many other problems. Then when they run out of money, they're going into crime, they're committing criminal offences to get up money for their booze or for their next fix. So,
and you said there off mic that Coolock, everyone knows I'm from Coolock, that it is a big problem around, and I would never have thought that there would be homeless people in Coolock.
Like, yeah.
I would have thought there was a small bits, pockets of it, but not.
Yeah. So when we first started, mainly at the moment, it's rough sleepers because that's kind of the bottom of the list. But me and my mate Rebecca, when we started it, it wasn't about rough sleepers at all. It was about families in Coolock. So that's hopefully something that I'm looking to go back to. But COVID, obviously, at the moment, we've no time with rough sleepers. So we're hoping to go back to families, because if you go into Darndale, the amount of people that you go into and they don't have food or you don't have electricity in the house and they're just sitting there with an Italian sofa is unbelievable. So we kind of want to go back to that family thing as well, hopefully during the year. But we're kind of very busy with rough sleepers and instance at the moment. So Yeah.
Is that a big problem, families, like, around?
Yeah, huge problem. Like, if you go to the, I don't know if you've ever seen the GPO, the super run at the GPO.
Yeah.
Like, half of them aren't actually sleeping on the streets. Half of them are coming in from Coolock, Talla, Finglas, getting their food and then going back to their house. So that's what kind of people say, like, they're on the streets. But if you look at that, there's more kids than adults there, like, on a night. Like, we'll go in now and we'll hang around the GPO now if anyone needs our assistance. And then after 9 o'clock, when that finishes up, we'll do the regular patrols up Henry Street and down the canals and stuff to see if people want to be booked in. A lot of people don't want to be booked in because you're not going into a room on your own. You're going into a room with 4 or 5 people, and some of the hostels, you couldn't even yawn. You're that close to each other. Like, so, like, for instance, we're helping a fella tonight now, and he won't go into hostels because his phone got robbed and he got beaten up. So we're going to try to get him into a hostel that's kind of not that bad, like, not that kind of safe. So we're going to try that tonight, and if he's any problems, then he can ring us and we'll sort that, because there kind of is, it sounds terrible, but if a service user goes to that hostel and says, "I have a problem," they won't sort it. They won't sort it. But if I come from an organisation and say I have someone booked in there and they're having problems, the hostel will think about it more, because there's an organisation coming to them and there's someone confronting them from an organisation, and they know that if they do anything wrong, that we'll publicise it and we'll expose them for not helping that service user, because they'll kind of look at that service user and say no one's going to believe them, you know, because they have addiction issues or they have mental health issues. But if someone comes to an organisation, then it helps a lot. Like, so that's what we're trying to do at the moment, is trying to get onto the hostels and say there is people having problems in there, you know, and hopefully they understand.
Why do people think that all homeless people are alcoholics? Like, what's the misconception with it?
Because if you're walking through the city centre, like, everyone's holding cans when they're sleeping bags and... Everyone smoking crack in corners, and, you know, so obviously just seeing the kind of the people that are like drinking and stuff like that. But if you think about it, like, the market for drugs isn't there anymore. Like, the market for drugs is people that are solicitors that are going out on nights out. No, taking cocaine, it's not the, I hate to use the word, but it's not the, what everyone says, the junkie that's ravaged in the corner. It's the people that are going out buying cocaine on the weekends that's the market for drugs there. Like, the market for, that's a very small percentage, the homeless people buying drugs in the city centre, you know, like, and they'll all meet at the one spot. Like, even last night in the boardwalk, there was about 20 of them waiting just to get their fix. And I've only found out a couple of months ago, the thing they call rock, so it's crack. That's a 5 second buzz, they guess. So they'll pay €25 for a 5 second buzz. So it's unbelievable. Like, I thought that would last them for the whole day, but then they want that buzz constantly, so they have to keep. And then obviously the frustration will get there now during the lockdown, because there's no one around to give them money, so they'll go into shops and rob stuff like steaks and stuff and sell them on for cheap, so they'll get money out of it. So
it's crazy.
Obviously, the crime rates are going up in the city centre, because there's not many people to give money out to people. And obviously, there's not many homeless people in the city centre at the moment, because there's no one in there. Because they won't, like, why would you sit outside a shop on O'Connell Street when there's two people walking past every 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, at Christmas, we were very busy, because obviously everyone drinking in the city centre was giving them money, so there was a huge amount, and obviously more money, more drugs, and then more drugs, more overdoses. So obviously the response team is very busy then, dealing with overdoses and people collapsing and stuff and like that, you know. So,
and Aaron, how do you deal with that? Like, what's the worst thing you've seen on the streets?
It was probably that time when someone was going to jump into the Livy.
Oh yeah,
they got that bad. Yeah.
So,
and how do you deal with that?
When we got there, we weren't there for us. There was the guards and the fire brigade were there, but we went up just to back them up and stuff, because we usually know who it is and stuff. We've worked with them before, like, so.
Like, if you think about it, like, if someone has mental health issues, they'll know, like, when we go into city centre, they'll say, "Hey, Aaron, hey, Brandon," like, they know us by name. So if some guard comes up to them and is like, "Calm down," they're not going to calm down. But if they know us, they see us day in, day out, it kind of helps. And that's where the guards kind of back us up most of the time. And we work well with Dublin Fire Brigade as well. And obviously, when they come out to call outs and help us out with stuff. So
I seen some lighting the tents on fire with homeless people in it. I seen a video.
That was, I'm not too sure how they went on fire, but obviously everyone kind of jumps to the conclusion that they were set on fire. Like, we had to do a thing. We do two things. We call it operation. So Operation Park Watch is to go to different parks and locate homeless people and report back to Dublin Simon community. And obviously give them essential items if they need them. And then we do a thing called Operation Safeguard. So we'll do that around times at the city centre where the city centre is going to be busy. So we done it around Halloween, obviously, because the huge amount of fireworks being put in sleeping bags and homeless people getting attacked. So we had volunteers out 12 hours a day, swapping shifts. So basically the volunteers were absolutely, they were amazing for that. Like, they really put in hours to get that done. So hopefully if... We'll be doing Operation Safeguard again if restrictions are lifted, because obviously everyone's been in the city centre drinking, and that's obviously, people don't know what they're doing when they're drinking sometimes, so they'll attack homeless people and stuff like that. Like, there's still people getting attacked in the city centre, but there's no need for Operation Safeguard because there's not a huge amount of cases of people getting attacked. But obviously around Halloween, New Year's Eve, stuff like that, to be people getting attacked, so that's to keep them safe. And if they kind of, If the teenagers see us in town, like, they know Aaron and they know me, so they kind of will say, like, there's Aaron and there's Brandon and there's the team, like, we won't touch off the homeless people. But if we're not around, then they'll you know.
To be fair, most of them come up and ask us about what we do and stuff, and they're like interested about and stuff. So I think it's helping in that aspect, that like us being out in the street and they're seeing what we're doing, it's kind of making them realise more, like, there's more to it than just someone stumbling down the road or something. There's like, they're going through stuff and I think they understand that more, and they kind of just want to know what we do more and how to help them and stuff like that.
God, was a Saturday night, it was absolutely Baltic out. Like, what is your motivation to kind of keep going every night?
It'd be different kind of things. Like, I've been doing it 4 years now, so I've been kind of working with different organizations, and the whole organization was set up 2 years ago. So I've been working a while. So the motivation to keep going would be that when you actually help someone and they're booked in and they appreciate it that much, or if we get someone that has mental health issues and we kind of get them to a doctor or get them seen, like, you kind of see a good outcome. But it is very hard for the new volunteers when they do come in. Like, we have four new volunteers starting tonight, and they'll kind of say, they'll see homeless people assaulting each other and stuff, and they'll say, like, is there any good in the world? Like, you know, like, so, but you will see good things. There's ups and downs. Like, the street team is obviously very close, but the response team has to be very close, because, like, the things that they deal with each other. And, like, I've had a few volunteers assaulted over the last couple of months. So, and they've still put on the vest and gone back in. Like, it's the motivation to kind of, that there is good people out there, and, you know, there is genuine people out there. They're not all assaulting you. And if they do assault you, they kind of, it's for a reason, you know. They're obviously not in the right state of mind or stuff like that. Like, we had a girl a couple of months ago, and she was trying to jump in the Liffey. She was pregnant, and she bit one of the volunteers, she kicked one of the volunteers, and then she kicked one of the new volunteers in the face. But obviously, you know, she wasn't in the right state of mind, so that's where kind of, it's not like, I haven't really had volunteers come back and say, this is too difficult for me. But obviously we have counselling in place, because obviously there is young people going out and they're seeing all this stuff at a very young age, so there is counselling there and available even during COVID for the volunteers if they need it, because I know the response team would see a lot of kind of bad stuff. You know, we haven't came across anyone deceased or anything yet, but if we do, like, there is a plan in place there to protect the volunteers, you know.
And if you're working with someone for so long and you think, oh God, they're getting him homed or housed somewhere, or he looks great, he's doing well, and then you see him 6 months down the road back on the streets, like, does that happen as well?
Yeah, it happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it happens a lot. Like, there'll be 200 people sleeping rough around the city centre, and 10 of them have rent homeless organisations.
Really?
Yeah. And I think the problem there is they're recovering drug addicts, and they're trying to do good. And our organisation doesn't take any kind of funding, like, cash wise. We always look for items, but some of the organisations would look for donations, and there's a high influx of cash coming in. and they're recovering drug addicts. So, and obviously they're in the city centre around other drug addicts. So they kind of just, it's very easy to relapse, you know, and just, it's very difficult for them. And then the whole organisation will fall apart, obviously, because they've relapsed. And I know there's a couple of organisations out there, I'm not going to name them, but the volunteers have kept going, or even though the founder or the CEO decided has relapsed, you know, they've kept going because, like, everything's built up. Why would you let it kind of drop, you know, so...
And do they like fill it with like empty promises, like, oh, I'm going to get clean, I'm going to get it, I'm going to be back out, which isn't all that, or are they completely lost?
Completely lost, kind of, yeah. Completely lost. Like, we'd see someone do so well and we'd say, oh, Thomas, you're drinking again. And he'd say, oh, I had to Aaron, or I had to Brandon, you know, because today this happened. And then they'd give you a story of why they had to drink. And then you'd see them the next week and you'd say, Ty said you're going to stop drinking. And then they'd tell you a different story. And sometimes you don't know where we have to check up on things, you know, because some of it is kind of, we had a fella come up to us the other day and said, well, I have COVID symptoms. That means you just have to get me a hotel. And we're like, you know what, like, we did have a Romanian couple that night, I remember. They only came into the country, but they obviously will get beds because they have to self-isolate for 2 weeks. So we rang the Simon and they got them isolating beds. But obviously when they found out they were a couple, when they found out they were going to be in separate rooms, they just walked off and didn't want our help. And if someone doesn't want our help, we can't push it. You know, if they don't want our help, they don't want our help. And the kind of, the thing with the GPO and what also I kind of think is much safer and better is the GPO is static. Like, that's a super one. Like, they have a table set up. Something kicks off, you can't get out of that situation very quick. If we walk around, so we're walking outreach team, something kicks off, we can just walk off, you know. And obviously we have the guards there. If we got onto the guards and said, yeah, it's Dublin Homeless Awareness, they'll come out quick enough, like, to back us up, you know. So,
and have you got into a brawl? Like, have you got into
A couple, yeah, a couple. But it'd only kind of be pushing and shoving matches. It wasn't really a fight, you know, but it'd kind of be to protect ourselves or to protect someone else, you know, we'd have to kind of defend ourselves. Some of the volunteers have done self-defense, but it's very hard, like, because I'd love to get the volunteers to do addiction courses, to do self-defense, to do alcoholism, to do about needles, you know, but you can't because it's COVID, you know. There's so many courses available there and that the volunteers are willing to pay for. You know, like, I've had volunteers come in and they've been there 2 weeks and they've been paying €300-400 for a first responder course just to, you know, because they're so dedicated into doing what they do, you know, so.
And is that not funded? Like, I just think that would be funded. You know what I mean? Those first aid courses, all of that, no. Be just funded? No.
No. Like, the radios that we've only got, they're very good radios. So they literally, me and Aaron were talking to each other from Drimna to Donegal the other day. And we got them sponsored to us for a year. Obviously that's a big help to us because that's a safety issue. Like, if we can't communicate with each other and something happens.
With the old ones, they didn't, like, from, what was it, like,
From O'Connell Street to Grafton Street, you wouldn't really go that much. So,
So, like, if one team was on one side, say one was on the other and one that was getting in trouble, like, you wouldn't know unless someone rang, which is, takes longer than talking over the radio. Like,
talking
over.
So, like, I looked up when they got sponsored to the radios and they're like €900 a month of the package that we got. So, it's just obviously someone very good, like, that wanted to sponsor radios, RSP Security in Ballymount. Sponsor them to us, and you just kind of have to wait and see if what people kind of sponsor and stuff. Like, it is very hard during COVID, you know, and it is very hard when most of us don't drive to collect donations and we have to arrange stuff. And so it's hard enough. Like,
I came in from my house after donations getting dropped off with two bags over my shoulder full of clothes, like, stumbling into the place where we keep them and stuff. Yeah. So,
and then a lot of organisations aren't taking clothes at the moment because of COVID. Like, like, if you see the clothes banks, they're, like, stacked up. Like, so
it's only new clothes they're allowed to take.
New clothes. So, we're like, if we done a fundraiser, we just go to Pennies and buy a load of hats and stuff. But we can't do that anymore. You know, we have to ask people to buy clothes online and donate them. But we're not taking clothes at the moment. Because of two issues in the city centre, if you're handing out clothes, there'll be fights.
Really?
Over the close.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you were meant to give that to me and all this. There's sometimes fights over food, but it's not that bad. But clothes, it's just as fights over. And COVID, literally, you don't know where the clothes are coming from, you know. We've had, like, used jocks and socks gave to us. Like, so it's just people don't really think. They just give their dirt, like, to us sometimes. But then some people are obviously very genuine and they'll go and they'll buy bags of clothes for us. Like, around Christmas, it's a busy time of year because, you know, everyone's donating. So we got a lot of donations in there and we're kind of still working through them donations at the moment, but we are getting low on donations for food at the moment. We'll be looking for kind of perishable food. So crisps, chocolate, bottles of water, kind of not canned beans or stuff like that.
And pot noodles and stuff.
Yeah. So we'd be looking for stuff like that. And if it was sandwiches or cakes or anything, we'd obviously I've asked them to bring it in that night so they wouldn't kind of go off. But a lot of the kind of businesses have been helping us in the city centre, like the hotels have been giving us some sandwiches, and there's a few donut shops that have been giving us donuts and stuff. So it's kind of good with businesses, you know, and kind of do try get the volunteers to go out during the day and go into the local businesses and appeal for donations. But obviously with stuff like, for example, Super Value or Dunnes or Tesco, they can't really give donations anymore because if someone gets sick from something they gave, then it's just, it can backlash on them. So it's kind of very hard to get off business. Small businesses are kind of donating at the moment. Like, you'd have to go to a head office and stuff for the big companies, you know. That's what we're finding lately. So,
because again, like, we can all live in air bubbles, and I never really looked outside until probably about a year ago when I started seeing people in Central begging and the stuff that was carrying on over there. And then we had one of the beggars out there and she was breaking into the houses here.
Yeah.
And awful carry on was going on. And then, like, you know, my girls wouldn't have known what homeless people were until she was saying to me, "Oh, that girl, ma'am, have you got a fiver and give her?" And she's like, "I gave her a fiver last week. And when I remember you gave me money to go to shop, I gave her half of it." And so she was kind of, you know, every time she saw my daughter going over, she knew my daughter would give her a few bob. And then she got the people, she was doing that to a lot of kids and a lot to the elderly. So the guards were called and she was...
Like, we kind of have to find where the new volunteers tonight, we'll definitely have a chat with them tonight, is you can't be too good to people because they'll expect it from you. You know, and if you hand out a bus fare because you feel sorry, like, there is, it's very hard. Like, if I'm in the city centre and I see someone that looks like my mother, and that reminds me of what I went through when I was younger, you know, it's very hard to say, like, well, we'll go the extra mile or we'll go above and beyond. You can't go above and beyond because they'll expect stuff from you every time. And that's why I've always told volunteers never hand out kind of money or anything like that, because they'll always expect it from you, you know, and they'll say anything for you to give, like, you know, my mother just died or I'm about to die, or, you know, like, we had a fella come up to us, when was it, 2 nights ago, he said, I'm having an asthma attack, and
do you have a smoke,
he says after, and we were like, what, you know. So it just kind of, there was a couple of years ago and about a year ago I'd say there was kind of they thought they could get into the hospitals to keep warm, but kind of that has stopped lately. Like, they were trying to fake sickness and stuff like that. We'd know who was actually ill and who wasn't. Like, there was a fellow one night and he was faking a seizure, and he was gripping the side of the path, pulling himself in and out. We're having a seizure, you don't have any hand grip. So we literally just seen that, and we literally just got the garage from, because if he's lying on the ground, we're just going to keep getting calls, but we have to come back and keep checking on him, you know. But kind of the worst that I've seen over the years is, I'm not too sure if you've seen it or not, is the little boy Sam. He's only 5 years old and he was eating his dinner off a piece of cardboard at Central Bank. That was about a year ago. That would have been the worst kind of thing that I've seen, is kids on the street. Yeah,
the government are saying that there's no one homeless on the streets because they're all in hotels. Like, you hear from around, because you know the way people are, we're great, but we're also, you know, we give out about people and say, oh, sure, she's only staying in the hotel for a year to get a 3-bedroom house. Like, people don't do that though. They wouldn't put themselves through that.
But obviously, like, you've there's a procedure there to get a house, you know. So, like, I had one of the volunteers and she was staying in a hostel and she was helping us as well, and she's 18. So, like, you have to, like, there is a procedure there that you'd have to go to hostels or you have to go into emergency accommodation to get a house, you know. It's not just I'm kicked out, where's my house? Like, there is a procedure there. And obviously, she was very lucky. She was in a hostel with a lot of other girls her age, so she was kind of safe, like, but you don't know what hostel they're going to give you, you know, and we know a lot of the hostels, like, which are bad and which are good, so we kind of say to the people sleeping rough, we'll try to get you into this one, but obviously there's only one hostel there tonight now, and I think it'll be over for the next couple of weeks that's taking people, and they're kind of very strict now, so they kind of searched them going in and stuff, so it's kind of safe enough, but still you don't know who you're sleeping beside, you know, so.
And then tell me, like, how can people help you? So you said that people, if they see someone on the street, they make a phone call.
So basically people would text the page on Instagram, but I'd be asking people to ring their response phone team number. So I have that up on the page. Basically, they're kind of the response team phone I brought in, because obviously I can't be looking at Instagram all night, you know, like I'm running around. So if you ring the phone, someone will answer, and we'll obviously radio each other for someone to go up and check on them. And if they say they don't want to go in the hostel, they, like, we can't do anything. But if they do, we'll contact Simon, and they'll either tell us to ring the free phone, or they will they'll come out and they'll try book them in to a hostel. But the free phone can only be accessed really kind of during the night time, you know. But it is, like, sometimes you're on the phone for half an hour. Sometimes you're on the phone for 5 minutes, you know, and then they'll say, like, you could be on the phone for an hour trying to get through to DCC, and then they'll say, oh yeah, go to that hostel, but you're not booked in there. You have to collect a sleeping bag, you know, so they're waiting and they're hoping to get booked in. Like, there's no pay phones in the city centre anymore. I don't know why, but there used to be queues for the pay phone for people just to try to get booked into hostels, but it is a very long kind of procedure, but if the response team kind of does it, they'll do it, you know. But we kind of get the street team to do it now, is to ring hostels and stuff, because the response team are the response team. Like, they have to respond to if anything happened, and if we're dealing with something, trying to get someone to a hostel, and a medical incident kicks off, like, we just have to drop that and we have to go, you know. And that's why the team is very close as well, because if someone gets assaulted, we all have each other's backs, you know. And it's much easier to do it when the team is kind of very tight and close, you know.
And how do you get that closeness?
Kind of just difficult times, you know, and seeing difficult stuff with each other, and then obviously a few issues have come up, like, in the past about kind of insurance and guards stopping us, and we've had a few issues in the past where we've understood it, but there was very anger there when we got stopped by the guards one time about carrying scissors in our medical bags. So they said that was an offensive weapon. So basically, I'll show you now, is we just got these seatbelt cutters, so they can't be used as an offensive weapon, because as you can see, the blade is in there.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just working around things, you know. It's not just saying, oh, the guard stopped us and said we can't carry scissors. It's not like, oh, we shut down the organization. You keep going, you know. And, like, the volunteers, obviously their job is to book people into the hostels and stuff like that, but there's kind of three team leaders in Dublin Homeless Awareness, like Aaron B, one of them for the response team, and they'd kind of their priority is to keep the other volunteers safe as well. So, you know, because they'll have much more experience than some of the volunteers. Like, Aaron has a lot of experience, so I have a lot of experience, and the other team leader has a lot of experience. So they know kind of what to lead, how to lead the other volunteers in the right direction, you know.
You're 16, and I know you've seen it from your mum, and fair play to her, but, like, you're still 16.
Yeah, I've done a lot for 16, though, I guess, like, especially...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Maybe the issue with the guards is, oh, you have juveniles out on the street and stuff, but if their parents give them consent, it will. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's not. Like, sometimes I have mothers and fathers ringing me and saying, oh, will he be all right? You know, and
Has
your man ever rang and said, is he all right?
No, my man, like, it's only me and my man, the house has always ever been. So me and my man are very close, like. So, like, we'd tell each other everything, kind of, like, we'd be open. There wouldn't be anything kept a secret, like, so I think she's all right. Like, she knows I'm independent.
I think she rang last night now. We were out late enough. We were out to 1 in the morning last night.
No, that's just because she wanted to go to bed.
She doesn't go to bed without you.
No, it depends. But, but I think it's just what I've done for, like, my age. I think she's just realised that, like, I'm all right, like, going in, doing that, having that responsibility, like.
Just because the responsibility that you have as a 16-year-old for other team members as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes, it's just like, especially like with the DJ and stuff, like I'm out late anyways and stuff. I'm around other people all the time. Like I have all my gear, like that costs a lot of money I'm taking care of as well. So like it's my first time taking responsibility of stuff. So I kind of have like responsibility of a lot of other things outside, which also helps that I have that experience. So stuff like that, yeah.
And like a lot of the response team would come in and they'd worked with different organizations before, and that's why they'd be on the response team, because they've had that experience. But obviously if someone comes in and wants to go on response team, we can't just stick them onto response team, because there's a huge responsibility for response team. Like, so we'll start them off in street team for a couple of weeks and then see how they go. So they hand out food and clothes and essential items. Like sometimes it gets that bad with donations that we can't have street team because we've nothing to hand out, so it just has to be the response team. But they'll hand out tea, coffee, stuff like that. But obviously it's still hard on the street team, because sometimes they're handing out food to kids, so it's very hard for them, like when they go home and they say to their mother or father, like, I'm not to be handing out food to like people like that my brothers and sisters age. Like, so it is hard on street team as well.
I think it helps them as well at the same time though, that like, especially like my age and stuff coming out, they look at that and they're like, they don't want to end up in that situation. So like, if they have any like doubts, like say in school and stuff, they're like, oh, I don't really like school or anything, you know, like it gives them the extra motivation in school and stuff, and to work on the marks, you know. Sometimes like end up like that, like some of the homeless that we're saying and stuff have dropped out of school and stuff and gone to work, but then like, especially younger, like around 20 or whatever, and then the COVID kicked in, and because they're younger, they don't have enough, like a lot of experience compared to other people in the job, they get let off and then they have no money.
And then that's what your team is seeing. So for them, it's like a motivation that they don't want to find themselves in a situation that they could land on the streets.
Yeah, yeah. It opens our eyes more to what's going on in the world outside of it. So just, they learn more about how like, it's how easy it is to fall into that. Like some of the stories we hear, it's just like, it's not like they've come from a rough background or anything. They literally just a few bad mistakes and fell into it then.
As in like when they fall into a gang, like a bad gang as well.
Like, like fall into trouble and stuff like that. And then like just not trying to get enough for work and stuff like that. And they're just falling out of a job then. And it's hard to get another job because of like what we're in now, the pandemic and stuff. And that's how a lot of people end up on the streets recently and stuff like that.
And kids, talking to kids, that must be mad. Like, do you know what I mean? That must be very hard. But come here, tell me this. So if you meet a girl or a boy, like, how do you explain to them, well, this is what I do?
They're kind of just not, like, it's just, it's like a job really, like, you know, and it's just, Obviously, there'd be problems there when you're like, obviously, when you're
every day.
Yeah.
Like what we were in.
Obviously, there'd be problems there. No, I wouldn't say there'd be problems there for a normal volunteer, but obviously, me, Aaron, and it's like the other kind of management of Dublin Homeless Awareness, like, it's not just we go in on a Monday and Friday, but for me and Aaron, it could be like last week we were out Monday to Sunday.
We had one day off Thursday. We had a day off after the park, which we were in every day. Like, sometimes we just be like, oh, there's nothing else to do. We just go in. That's what happened yesterday. You got off work. I was sitting in my house. I was like, there's nothing to do. We might as well go in, end up staying out to 1 o'clock or something.
And it ended up being a busy night. So,
yeah, end up being packed.
Do you work full time?
I used to work in Super Value, but they just got to let me go. So I'm looking for a new job at the moment now. So
you'll be hired tomorrow. Jesus Christ, with all of that you're doing.
Yeah. So obviously it would have an impact on friendships and relationships. Mm-hmm. Obviously when you're managing, because you're putting a huge amount of your time into it. Like, you know, it wouldn't be like that you'd lose relationship or friendship over, because obviously you can work around it, but obviously there is a huge amount of time put in, and obviously it can impact your mental health sometimes, obviously seeing people. And then you're kind of worrying, like when I first started doing it, I felt very guilty going home like to bed and then there's someone out. So that's why you try your best to kind of to book someone in, like we're going to try our best to book that fella in now tonight that we're meeting, because he's an elderly gentleman, so we're going to try to get him booked in, because he's just not safe where he is. He's in the middle of Temple Bar, so you know.
I know that I couldn't do what you do. I couldn't, because
you don't know who to try.
Yeah, I know, and I know that, but I would just be that person that would be constantly saying to you, no, but how can we leave them? Like, how can we leave them? Like,
yeah, you'd want to stay out all night, like, just making sure they're already, like, yeah.
We had an incident with a volunteer the other night. I'm not going to name names now, but he got very angry because basically we were at the GPO and a fella banged his head and he started gushing blood. Basically, we done everything we could for him. Dublin Fire Brigade came out, put him in the ambulance. Wouldn't put his mask on in the ambulance, so Dublin Fire Brigade were like, right, we're not bringing it. So they trucked him in the ambulance and we said, right, we'll book him into a hostel, and he refused the hostel. So kind of the volunteers kind of said, well, look, why we have to leave him? But sometimes you have to leave people, because if they don't want to help, you can't help someone that doesn't want to be helped, you know?
And I think newer volunteers don't realise it. Remember Dublin Fire Brigade, we were saying this before, the way it goes is it's yourself,
you look after yourself first, your teammate second, and then the service user last. Yeah. So if you're looking after yourself, like, and everyone's looking after themselves, then you're working in a safe environment, you know, like
especially with like what's going on now, like you have to protect yourself always before like anything else.
With response team, after we got a serious assault a couple of months ago, one of the volunteers where he nearly got his eye taken out with a knife, a blade. So after that, kind of there was a thing put in place with the new radios came in, and then a procedure came in with the guards, how we can work with the guards to keep safe. And
more went on each team then.
On each team. So there's three or four members in each team now. So if something did kick off, we could kind of control that, you know. And but we've had stuff kick off before, and kind of another homeless person would come over and say, oh, they booked me into a hostel, leave them alone, you know. So you would, like, you know, you're safe enough in there, like you're safe enough.
But it's good that like the relationship we have with some like the homeless people, like that they'd come up and say hi, whatever, like anyone we walk past that we know rough on the streets would say hello, like when you're walking past and stuff. Even when I'm not in my vest or anything, when I'm walking through town when stuff is open and stuff, they just say hi and stuff, like. So it's just,
I'd always say to volunteers, new volunteers coming in, it's important that, no, you have a relationship with them, but they're not your best friend. You have to go home at the end of the day. Like, you know, just don't build up too much of a relationship, because you can get very attached easily, like, and you want to help them more, you know, and stuff like that. Like, I've had times where I went home and brought in, like, pillows and stuff, you know, because I went back in on the bus, like, so you can't do that. You have to work the hours that's there, like, from 7 till 11, and that's all, like, and then you just cut off, you go home, forget about everything, you know.
Except us last night, and just stayed out for a while. But it depends if it's busy, like, even that time that the person was jumping into Livy, we ended up out till half two, it's just what happens, like, if there's something there, say something kicked sort of at 2 minutes to 11, you're staying there, yeah, simple as.
Like, staying there, simple as, like, you know, so.
What time do you head into town? Where's your first port of call?
So basically, we store the stuff in, on the south side. So we'd meet, the response team would meet on the south side. They'd eat me earlier. So they'd, because they have to do equipment checks and stuff. So the response team would meet earlier. And then for that hour, then they'd be doing equipment checks and different kinds of training. Like, we have to do training as in how to take PPE off, because obviously, as you've seen on telly, like, in the hospitals are wearing full PPE, and if we have a suspected COVID case, we'd have to wear that. We carry that equipment, so we'd have to check all that. And training, we do basic training, and then we're, if we have any free time, then we kind of do team building things, like, because the volunteers obviously have to kind of relax and be able to work with each other when they're not dealing with situations. Like, during the summer, we've had football matches between volunteers and stuff like that, just to kind of get them kind of close and get them working with each other. Like, I know we brought in 6 new volunteers the last 2 weeks, so it is hard. Like, if when a new volunteer comes in and everyone knows each other and then they don't know each other, you know, it is kind of hard for them. But we kind of try to make them feel comfortable when they come in. So obviously, especially being so young, you know,
I think what helps as well, like, some of the volunteers have known each other from before and kind of came in together, or came in because they're in there and stuff like that. So that helps as well grow, because it's a less person that you have to build a relationship with. Like, I used to hang around with one of the people that's in there. I've worked in events and stuff with another person in there, which just helped me integrate into the group. Like,
she'll be chuffed now that you mention her.
What are you?
Before we go on to how people can help, I just want to ask just the two of you, just your personal story about you growing up in Donegal and what that was like for you.
Kind of growing up, I live with my nanny and granddad. My mother moved out 4 years ago, and she was sofa surfing, so it was kind of the same kind of addiction issues, into crime and stuff. So my nanny and granddad kind of couldn't have that, like, living with that when she wasn't stable. So she's stable now, she has accommodation for the moment. Don't think that's going to last though for the next while, you know, so she's going to have to get something into place. But obviously the same issue there, like, she wouldn't let us help. We can't help someone that doesn't want to be helped, even though they're your mother, brother, sister, you know. If they don't want to be helped, you can't help them. But obviously she's came out of, she's had opportunities now where she had a drug overdose 2 years ago, and she'd had opportunities to get a house from the hospital, like, coming out of the hospital, because the hospital can't release you unless you have somewhere to stay. And we said to the hospital, like, she was not coming into ours if she's sick or not, like, we can't take her back, like. And she had opportunities, she didn't take the opportunity, so we couldn't really do anything. Obviously she's going somewhere now, she's on the housing list, she's very close to getting a house soon. Then obviously the opportunity there, cause she's kind of recovering, would be for me to move in with her, hopefully. And then, when the lockdown ends.
And do you want to do that?
It's something I'd have to think about, you know, cause it's been very difficult over the last couple of years. And, but I've obviously, my nanny and grandad have said, if anything ever changes, I can come back, like, so. Mm. The way the organization is going is, like, I do want to go off to college to be a paramedic. So, obviously, there's a huge amount of time being put into the organisation at the moment. There's a level 5 lockdown, so we have loads of time. But expanding the organisation would be to, we're looking to get a minibus. So, because we've experienced the minibus before, we can get to different locations quicker. So we're looking to sort a minibus. So we're working with 2 companies at the moment that are going to try help us. But expanding the organization wise, I'd want to kind of get trustees to come in, and kind of that's someone that I could trust to run the organization, because obviously I can't go on during college to run the organization. So I'm happy the way it's going now. But I wouldn't like to expand anymore. You know, I'd like to expand, obviously, to highlight the issue and get young people involved. But obviously, expanding the organisation at the moment wouldn't be something that I'd be looking to do.
Well, you come here, 26 volunteers already, and what you're doing right now is huge for you. And tell me, with the bus, just on the bus point, so with something like that, because you said you don't take, you know, cash donations. So how then do you get, like,
You'd have to get a company to sponsor you. The radios are sponsored to us at the moment. And because of the lockdown, we have a GoFundMe set up. So that would be basically for bandages and stuff like that for the response team. Like the last time we needed funding for the response team, they all went out and bought their own equipment, you know. So
That's nuts. Like, that's just...
A lot of people say that. They're like, oh, the stuff you do and you don't get a lot. Like, everyone's surprised about it, but...
And obviously the stuff that we use, if you like, obviously when you look in the shops now, like baby wipes and masks and all, the prices of them have gone up like so much. So the stuff that we need, the prices are gone up. So like the fill, I don't know how, if you've seen on the page, not the vest we wear, like it's €200 to fill that vest, you know, and we can't go out one night with one piece of equipment, because if you go out that night and you need that piece of equipment, then you're kind of screwed, you know. So we want the vest full all times, but we've kind of sorted that. A lot of hospitals have helped us. A lot of nurses have gotten contact and helped us. So we're looking basically for field at the moment. What else I'd be looking at to expand is the minibus, and I'm looking for some sort of storage unit in the Dublin One area, because basically my fun sitting room is basically like a warehouse at the moment.
Yeah, mine's be like a cardly shop sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So like my nanny just be like, there's delivery coming every day for you. So
and does your nanny and granddad ever be like, Brandon, enough?
They've told people that, like, people have dropped stuff to the door and they've thrown them away sometimes. So it's been like...
There's still food in my car that my mom got over our food bank a few days ago. She's like, someone coming to collect them. We're like, I'll do it eventually. Like, I'll get it in. Like, but so it's just hard with no one really driving or anything. So
it is kind of hard to manage your normal life and your kind of homeless life. You know, it's hard to manage, but we kind of get through it, and that's what kind of gives you the motivation when you do see people recovering or doing well, like, you know. So
normally you would like to see a person a lot, but with what we do, seeing a person like a lot less is better, because you know they're off doing something else and are walking around the streets or anything. So it's good in that way. Like we're saying that some people have got off the streets. Like,
so then, Aaron, tell me about yourself. You said earlier on about the DJing. So what's that about? Tell me.
I started DJing 2 years ago. I built up a platform. I have 6.5K on Instagram and 8.5K subscribers on Snapchat and stuff. And just built up like a name for myself, contacts and stuff like that. So I'm getting there big enough around Dublin and stuff and over in England now. Hopefully to playing abroad still and stuff. But I've used my platform to obviously raise awareness about the homelessness around Dublin and stuff. And I done a live stream for the organization I was with before, and hopefully we're getting able to use some of that money for this organization as well. We have to sort that out soon. So I raised $2,500 for that. We're just doing getting like radio DJs like Marty Guilfoyle, Dave Tracy, stuff like that, and then DJs around Dublin that a lot of people would know, would listen to their music and stuff. So got them do live streams and stuff, raised the money off of GoFundMe. My school raised money for it and stuff like that. So there's a lot of backing behind it. But I think when we met Brandon Forrest, we both had like the same idea, wasn't it? There's always a thing about this. He's like, oh, you took my idea. No, just a bit of banter about it, like, and stuff, but about doing a festival for it. Because I have contacts and stuff like we can get a stage and a sponsor and stuff like that I have sorted already for when the time comes, and then obviously have the contacts for the DJ and stuff, but hopefully get that going and like have a music festival for it probably wouldn't be just for an organization, to be raising awareness for all like homelessness around Dublin and stuff like that, and even if we get to that big abroad, like out the countries and stuff like that.
And come here, how did you start a DJ, just in the house?
4 years ago, I got knocked over by a car. This is a story. I do go live on Instagram. And stuff.
I didn't even hear this.
Here's a story. Everyone always asks me about it. I got knocked over by a car, and it was bad enough. Like, and I ended up being stuck in bed for a while.
What's a while?
Oh, it was like 4 months or something. A while. Like I couldn't really me angle and stuff. I couldn't really do a lot. Like, I could get out and stuff, but I was in had to rest up most of the time. And I just got DJ and my laptop and stuff like that, and I kind of stopped then, because when you're younger you people are like, oh, you're DJing, you're shouting, all this and that, and obviously when you're younger you're like, oh yeah, they're probably right, Jamie. So I stopped then. And then I was at a underage event, like as you do when you're younger, you go to them and stuff like that. I end up going up in the DJ box, and then the next week I was up there DJing. So I got talking to like the DJ and stuff up there. I was talking to them on Instagram, then they're like, I'll come up and try get back into it and stuff. So I end up being up there in Eva up in the Red Cow, down another underage event. And then 2 months later I got my first gig by myself in there, and then I end up just going from there down parties and stuff like that. I started to produce then music and stuff, and I only put out a song there last week, and it's on near enough 5k in a couple of days. So Jeez. It's gone well, and then I'm looking to get a few songs like signed with record labels. I've been talking to record labels and stuff like that.
And what's the name of the song?
Oh, it's called Come Back, Get Back. It's on my SoundCloud, but I'm working towards more commercial songs, like to get on the radio and stuff like that, to get signed and hopefully expand my name out, because like a few record labels from England and stuff have been emailing me about them and stuff, so hopefully I can expand over. Like,
and then taking it back to Dublin Homeless Awareness, is there any point that you wanted to give up?
No, not at all, to be honest, but like that's what I'd rather, like be in helping out someone than just either sitting in my house doing nothing or being out just walking the streets and stuff, because it's cold out walking the streets, but if you're in doing something, your mind's off the cold, and so you know you're helping someone, so there's actually a purpose behind it. That's what I like to do when I'm doing something, there's a purpose behind it, not just waste my time for what it is. So especially like with like people coming in to the group that's like in school and stuff, it's great on their CV, like the stuff they do, which it goes towards that. So that's where a lot of young people are coming into it, and then they like it because they get to see, as I said earlier, like more into what the world's like, not just there in the house in their area and stuff like that.
And Brandon, you have you ever talked with your responsibility?
More than 20 times I say about giving up. Yeah. Obviously there's going to be bumps in the roads, and obviously I've had to have the team there to kind of get me out of them bumps in the roads, where I've said, no, maybe we will give up.
For half the time you want to leave me just annoying you.
So like, you know, because you would, like, there is a lot of catfighting between different organizations, like, you know, and like you're doing this wrong and you're doing this and you're too, like, I don't know how many times I've got, they're all too young, they have no experience in what they're doing, and
I think that's just the way the world goes. Like,
and I'd imagine you are getting stick off people saying, what are you doing, Brandon, they're kids.
Yeah,
you're a kid.
Like even sometimes off the guards, even we've got stuff like that, you're too young and stuff like that, and but that hasn't really stopped us, you know, and we don't really get it. We're kind of homeless people, like they'd appreciate whoever helps them. Like, you know, it's not like, oh, you're 16.
Yeah, they're surprised, but they think it's me. That's the same thing. But even you say, like, you had just say about some of the guards, like, they're like, oh, yeah, they look, or you are young and all, like, what you're doing. So other guards are, like, amazed at, like, what we're doing so much. Even, like, some of the Dublin Fire Brigade and all the paramedics were like, that's amazing, like, what you're doing. Even the last day when we helped that fella, they're like, well done, lads. Like, that was amazing, you get me? So I think it's just, it depends on the person, and I think it depends what they grew up with and where they come from and stuff. I think it's just the different thoughts behind the different backgrounds.
Very true. Mm-hmm. And then Brandon, would you ever, you want to go on to be a paramedic, and would you want to continue with what you're doing now? Or you're going to have to say to yourself at some point, I'm going to have to leave this, or are you going to always be involved in it?
So I wouldn't say it'd be a phase that I've gone through where I'll just do it. Like, I think I'll always be there, but it might not be as big, or if it was as big, that I kind of would have to take a step back from it, and to kind of be trustees in place that would keep the organisation going. Like, so why would you build up over 2 years and then let it go, you know? So it's just kind of
I'd take it over.
Just for his name.
Yeah, you give over, would you?
So
you are, that's the plan, college, paramedic, and then to get a trustee to come in. But what is that going to be like for you? You're trying to hand that over to someone else. It's like a baby, like, you know, it's like a child.
Well, I can't even let go of them radios, never mind the organisation. Like, so
be in the house for a while crying in the bed, won't be able to let go.
If I know the organisation's going to go well, you know, like, and because obviously the team, hopefully the team that we have at the moment will be the team for, like, that's that team, like, they're always going to be there.
I don't think you'd ever let, like, all of it go. You would still have some part in it. So, yeah.
And then again, how can people help? So I know we've talked, so it is the main thing is food.
So for food at the moment, donations of food and a storage somewhere to store them in the city centre, because we've had no storage and all the volunteers are kind of, it's all kind of a mess every night, kind of getting stuff in. So,
and my room just looks like a bomb's head, to be honest with you, like, with all the stuff in it.
So
it's crazy, isn't it? Say what? Yeah, we have a lot of people from inner city listeners, of quite a lot. So but it's more of a business that you need, isn't it?
It's hard to get somewhere to store stuff in town, especially because all the businesses kind of have them.
Yeah. All the clothes up, it'd be more of a business that you'd need rather than a thing.
I remember I rang a company, the storage company, and I said, yeah, this is what I'm doing. And I think I was talking on the phone half an hour of what I was doing. And, like, obviously expecting a sponsorship, and he turned and goes, oh, yeah, that'd be €300 a month. You know, and after me talking for like 20, so that's, you will, like, even, we haven't done it obviously because of COVID, but even when you're door knocking and looking for donations, like, you'll get people, like, obviously turning you away and all, but you have to kind of just let that happen. Like, people are always going to turn you away and let you down. Like, you can't just, like, you were meant to click through tonight now and that's not happening. So.
And tell me this, what you said there, that people let you down. And, like, is that, like, gut-wrenching for you when that happens?
Not really, because it always makes sure there was kind of a backup there. The thing that would annoy me is people, obviously, on social media saying, look what I'm doing. Look, here's a video of me handing a sandwich to a homeless person, you know. We never take photos of any kind of service users. There's a code of conduct in place, so every volunteer would have to sign a code of conduct of how they're going to behave. So, like, we wouldn't take any pictures. We take pictures of the work we do and the conditions of people that are living in, but we'd never take pictures of service users or with service users. Like, that's just because of the amount of followers we have, like, how do we know if their families are going to see, oh, there's Michael, you know, he must be in a bad way because he's with the super one, you know, so...
Terrible. And we're under pressure for time because you're trying to get into, you're going to head
in. We'll just have to send a message in the group to say we won't be there till like 7.
We do. Let you go. So the Instagram page, tell me what it is.
It's Dublin_homeless_awareness.
And Facebook is the same?
Facebook's the same.
And all the contact details are there, yeah?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brandon, thanks so much for sitting down with me, and same to you, Aaron.
Thanks very much.
I wish you nothing but the best. And when you're a famous DJ, you see me 45-year-old self in 5 years' time, where we're allowed out screaming at you for a song. You won't forget about me.
No, VIP tickets everywhere, sorry.
But Brandon, honestly, like, your story from where it was and where you are today, it's just fantastic, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck. Thanks, lads.
Thanks very much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.